Real people. Real radio. Wherever you are, make it TFR. Truth Frequency Radio.
Hello. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, my goodness. Thank you guys for tuning in once again to the radio show. The chat room is filling up right now. I'm trying to say hi individually to everybody as they show up. So just give me a second here as I'm typing away. Man, it's nice to see you guys all this morning. It is a beautiful day here in Missouri. It is also Friday, so congratulations to all of us for making it through yet another week. My name is JD. This is, of course, the Red Pill Reports radio broadcast on your very favorite network for alternative news and information, Truth Frequency Radio. And I have to say, yesterday, we hit a high water mark with our live streams, guys. We had more people listening to the show yesterday than we've ever had in the world. I'm not going to even for a second believe that that was because I'm here. I know for a fact it was because Deborah Tavares is here. And how amazing was Deborah yesterday? Oh, my gosh. Unbelievable. So if you guys didn't get an opportunity to go back and hear Deborah, go back and download that archive, because she's got so much information that you guys need to know, especially if you're out there in California, because holy cow, you guys are really under the gun right now. And I got to tell you too, just as we're talking about Deborah Tavares, just as a side note, I want to give you guys some insight into how amazing Deborah is. Deborah did not know she was going to be doing an interview yesterday, guys. That's how amazing Deborah is. Normally, I try not to call her because she's so busy. I usually send an email, and I guess she missed the email yesterday. So when I called her, it was 3 minutes before the show, or before her interview. She made all that up off the top of her head. Not made it up, but she basically was able to just, that's how good Deborah Tavares is. So if you have any doubts in your mind just about how amazing Deborah is, just know for a fact that she was not prepared to do an interview yesterday and still probably did the best interview that we've ever done with Deborah Tavares. So definitely go back. Check out the archives for that one. Really, really amazing stuff. Also, I want to remind everybody today is the 17th day of April. I forgot to say that. It is, of course, Friday. So again, congratulations. Hope you guys are gearing up for a nice weekend this weekend. I know that I am. I'm really excited, actually, about this weekend. I'm not sure if it's going to get nice outside. It's nice right now. And if it does, I'm going to go ride the bike quite a bit. But if it isn't, I think I'm going to repaint my bicycle this weekend. Give me something to do. But anyway, I hope you guys are having a great day. Really appreciate you guys all being here. As I said, live streams yesterday were the largest we've ever had. So for all you new listeners out there, I try not to ramble too much right in the morning. I often do. But just for the new kids out there, we usually go over all the news from the day for the first hour. And then the second hour, we always have an amazing guest. And today, because it's Friday, we like to get a little bit out there. Although today, I think today's discussion is going to be pretty outstanding. It's not going to be super woo-ish, but it will give you guys a lot of things to think about deeply over the weekend. Sivan Bolan is going to be our guest. I'm sorry, Sivan Bomar the third is going to be our guest. His website is astralquest.com. He's also got another website called secretenergy.com, and it's just getting ready to pop into existence here in the next few days. I think on the 20th of April, that's scheduled to go live. But I've been checking out his sites, and I'm telling you, holy cow, ladies and gentlemen, you are going to lose about 3 months of your life if you go to these websites, because it is like a bottomless pit of awesome. I'm telling you, the information that he has aggregated about just all kinds of amazing esoteric information. He's probably got an online archive larger than the records at the Vatican. And I'm not just saying that. I'm telling you, you guys have to go check out Astral Quest. Sivan is a very, very interesting guy, very enigmatic speaker, and I'm definitely looking forward to introducing all of you guys to him today. For new listeners, listeners, he has been on Chris and Cherie's show in the past, and man, I'm hoping to bring him in as a regular from now on, because I had such a great time chatting with him yesterday. So let's see, I'm here, it's Red Pill, we're live, blah blah blah, it's Friday. Okay, that's everything we have to talk about. We have a lot of news to cover today, guys. I mean, talking a lot of news. I'll try and remind you guys who the guests are going to be for next week later on, but I want to get into some of the international news. We have some crazy national news coming here from the United States, and we've got some pretty intense economic things that are going down today too. So we have a lot to talk about. I'm going to stop ranting and I'll just kind of jump into this stuff right now. Obviously, Saudi Arabia and Yemen probably at the top of the heap in terms of what's going on around the world right now, and it's not getting better as the situation is unfolding. The Saudi-led coalition airstrikes targeting the Shiite rebels in Yemen, they actually intensified this morning with bombings in the capital of Sana'a and the country's second largest city, and they have now reached their most intense levels since the campaign started last month, according to Yemeni security officials. Thick plumes of smoke rose high above Sana'a as weapons stores in the mountains overlooked the city exploded and burned, while local residents continued to flee the violence, according to officials speaking on condition of anonymity because they were not authorized to talk to reporters. So in Yemen's second largest city, Taiz, the rebels known as Houthis clashed with the army units loyal to exiled president Mr. Hadi, with tanks and heavy machine gun firing throughout the day and airstrikes hitting a military base of the Houthi-allied Republican Guard. These airstrikes also continued in Sada'a, the Houthis' northern stronghold, and Aden, the southern port city that rebels have been trying to take over for weeks in cooperation with forces loyal to President Saleh. Meanwhile, the United Nations urged the international community to provide $272 million in aid to help save lives and protect some 7.5 million people affected by the conflict in Yemen. In the statement, the UN said that along with its partners in Yemen, it needs to fund the purchase of medical supplies, safe drinking water, food assistance, emergency shelter, and provide logistical support. So again, the situation in Yemen is not getting any better. And here's another ancillary story to that. The UN right now is scheduled to choose a new envoy to Yemen after Jamal Ben-Ammar resigned amid criticism from Saudi Arabia. The civilian suffering is mounting in the country, with hundreds killed and tens of thousands fleeing for their lives. Ben-Ammar, who is a Moroccan diplomat, he was tasked to facilitate the power transition in the country back in 2011 after the Arab Spring uprising. He has said that he has expressed an interest in moving to another assignment now, and the UN announced this on Wednesday this week. It said also that his successor will soon be named, and Reuters cited an anonymous UN official saying that the diplomat Ismail Ahmed will replace Ben-Ammar, but again, that's not official yet. So this diplomat stepped down under pressure from some Middle East players, particularly Saudi Arabia, who said his peacemaking efforts were a failure. And in March 26 of 2015, the Saudis launched a bombing campaign against the Yemeni Shia Houthi rebels, who allied with former President Ali Salah and took control of large portions of the country. So again, this is what's going on over there right now. Right now, at least 365 civilians have been killed, according to the UN, and also 121,000 Yemenis have been internally displaced by these hostilities. This is, of course, again, according to the UN Office for Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs. So we'll see how this plays out in Yemen, but it doesn't look like it's getting any better there right now. Not good. Our thoughts and prayers, obviously, with the people who are there just trying to live their lives like everybody else around the world, ladies and gentlemen. So also moving on to some news out of Iraq, there were some fierce clashes breaking out between the security forces and ISIS elements east of Ramadi. Ramadi is this big area there in Iraq that we have been talking quite a bit about as they get ready to try and clear that area of ISIS, and they're having quite a bit of trouble. So again, the security advisors of the Anbar governors announced that fierce clashes have broken out between security forces backed by the tribal fighters and the ISIS group elements of Ramadi, calling now for urgent and immediate military intervention to support Iraqi security forces there. So we'll see again how that battle for Ramadi works out. Also, there's been another story coming out, and this is the International Business Times, so again, try and point out where these stories are coming from so you can take them with a grain of salt as you need to. And International Business Times, I believe, is run by the BBC. So again, the Islamic State has continued, again, its assault on the strategic western city of Ramadi as experts are pulling out reports now that are reporting that thousands of refugees have actually fled the city towards Baghdad. And this BBC reported that the terrorist group had mounted a series of suicide bombings on a government compound in Ramadi, which is a key Sunni city about 70 kilometers from Baghdad in the heart of Iraq's Anbar province. And this bombing comes a day after senior Iraqi officials warned, it's just like what we were just talking about, that the city of Ramadi could fall to ISIS within hours, and that that gentleman was again asking for immediate military support for the thousands of refugees and also the thousands of militia men who are fighting against ISIS there in Ramadi. So not out of the woods yet in Iraq. Also, more news from Iraq. On Thursday, the Iraqi oil minister, Adel Abdul Mahdi, he revealed that hundreds of ISIS elements still occupy parts of the BG oil refinery in northern Salahuddin. And he also said in a statement issued Wednesday and recorded by Reuters that the government still controls the main part of the refinery, but still again, just a lot of turmoil still there in Iraq right now. And I guess that's par for the course as we're moving forward here. Let's move down into Mexico City right now. Authorities there are appealing for help among Mexico's population on Thursday this week to locate stolen radioactive material. This is the latest theft of such dangerous substances in the country. And the Interior Ministry issued an alert in five southern and eastern states late Wednesday, 2 days after the toolbox-sized container carrying iridium-192 was snatched from a truck in a residential parking lot in Cardenas, Tabasco. And Luis Puente, who is the National Civil Protection Coordinator, urged ordinary Mexicans to be on the lookout and notify the authorities right away if they find the material, which is used for industrial radiography to check welding seams. He also noted that in previous similar cases, the thieves did not even know what kind of material they were taking, and there have been three other cases similar to this one since 2013. The material has always been recovered. This is another just kind of a public safety announcement here. If you see this box, don't go near it. You need special tools to open it, and as long as it's not open, you'll probably stay safe. But again, anything more than a couple hours of exposure to whatever is in this box will kill you, ladies and gentlemen. So again, the authorities there in Mexico calling on the public for any information that leads to the recovery of this stolen radioactive material there. Not really sure if they could make a dirty bomb out of that, but who knows? You never really know. I believe that I was listening to Kev Baker's show yesterday. I got to say, epic stuff. I was having a lot of trouble with my feed, so I was kind of in and out. But I believe you guys covered, I got to say too, Thursday shows, the fortnightly shows. I'm trying to throw that word fortnightly in for my new UK listeners. But the fortnightly Tough Talk Thursdays with Alex, I mean, talk about amazing. What a resource, guys, that Kevin is bringing to the show, being able to bring somebody directly from the Ukraine to talk about what is going on right now. And I'll tell you, I'm pretty sure they touched on this yesterday, but I didn't get much of an opportunity to listen because, again, my feed was just all goofy yesterday. But a former Ukrainian MP and an active anti-Maidan activist, Oleg Kalashnikov, has been killed in his flat in Kiev. And this killing is the latest in a series of very odd deaths plaguing former government officials and ex-president Yanukovych's party members. The 52-year-old man was found dead at his residence in Kiev on Wednesday evening. His death was caused by a shotgun, according to the Interior Ministry. They released this in a statement yesterday. And Ukraine's criminal investigation chief, Vasily Paskal, took the investigation under personal control and promised to share motives and the preliminary results of the probe with reporters as soon as they become available. And the investigation is focused on five possible motives for the crime, including the Interior Minister's senior advisor, Anton Gerashenko. So far, the investigation considers the primary possible motive behind the killing to be Kalashnikov's political activity linked with his participation in the organization and financing of counter-revolutionary events in the Ukraine. And Gerashenko emphasized that Kalashnikov did, in fact, have knowledge of the anti-Maidan movement that resisted the coup last year and continued to challenge new authorities in Kiev. So the Ukrainian media reported before the murder of Kalashnikov that he had received threats of physical violence for his political views, in particularly for his drive to defend Ukrainians' right to widely celebrate the 70th anniversary of the World War II victory. In a letter addressed to his friend before the murder, Kalashnikov allegedly wrote that open genocide and dissent, death threats, and constant dirty insults have become the norm following his open call to honor the memory of the heroes and victims of the Great Patriotic War. An acting Ukrainian MP and ex-spokesman for the extremist right sector group, Borislav Bariza went further and alleged that Kalashnikov had been eliminated by his former employees who were trying to tie up loose ends, and they were afraid that he could disclose details of their past activities. And while part of the secret was taken to the grave, some information remained in an electronic form, according to Bariza. So he goes on to say a series of bizarre suicides of ex-regionals who are members of the Party of Regions and now the murder of Kalashnikov raises questions to law enforcement authorities. And he says, I hope that Ukrainian society will get the answers. Meanwhile, Oleg Tserev, who is a parliamentary speaker and the self-proclaimed Novorossiya, he agreed that Kalashnikov's murder is the latest in a chain of mysterious deaths of former supporters of the Party of Regions. So this murder is meant to be a warning for all of those who dare to oppose the new Kiev government, which can do anything against the opponents, according to Tserev. In the past few months, at least 8 other Ukrainian government officials died in mysterious deaths, most of which were treated as suicides. On January 29th, former chairman of the Kharkov region government, he was found hanged. On February 24th, the former Party of Regions member, Melnik, he died of a gunshot, with his death treated also as a suicide. February 25th, several hours before his trial, the mayor of Melitopol, Sergei Valter, he was found hanged, leaving no suicide note. The very next day, February 26th, the deputy chief of Melitopol police, who reportedly act as Valter's lawyer, he was found dead in his garage. February 26th, a former MP and ex-chairman of the Zafarai's regional state administration, he was found dead with a gun wound to his neck. His death is also being investigated as a suicide. And on February 28th, the former member of Party of Regions, Mikhail Chetrov, jumped from the window of his 17th floor apartment in Kiev, leaving a suicide note. So just over and over and over makes you wonder what exactly is going on in Ukraine right now, but I really don't think it takes a lot of wonder. Kevin hitting the nail on the head here right now. It's just more cleanup after the coup, and anybody who understands what actually happened on the coup and might have decided to step up against it, well, they're all being eliminated in the Ukraine right now. So there you go. Also, thousands of people have sought refuge in temporary shelters in South Africa after mobs with machetes apparently attacked immigrants in the city of Durban, leaving at least 5 people dead. An aid group said this yesterday. Heavily armed police have now scrambled to stop clashes this week after local residents accused immigrants from other African nation of taking their jobs. So again, lots of goofy stuff going on in South Africa right now too, and our hearts and thoughts and prayers go out to all those people. No good. Just more turmoil all around the world. Par for the course, ladies and gentlemen. Here's the story where Julian Assange is back in the news here. I just want to touch on this real quick. Julian Assange and his legal team say that he has agreed to a long negotiated interview with Swedish prosecutors about his allegations of rape and sexual assault that date back to 2010. So he has spent more than 1,000 days in the Ecuadorian embassy in London in order to avoid extradition to Sweden, which he fears will then hand him back over to the United States. And in America, he might face separate charges pertaining to his role in the diplomatic cable leaks hosted on his website, WikiLeaks, back in 2010. So he says he has repeatedly invited prosecutors to question him by video link or in London over charges brought by 2 women there in Switzerland, which he does vehemently deny. But Swedish prosecutors opposed the move until last month, and they apparently have now reversed their decision due to the statute of limitations on some of the charges running out in August of this year. The statute of limitations for rape, which is the most serious of the charges he faces, does not actually run out until 2020. But as a precondition, Assange's legal team requested to view the entirety of the investigatory case that has been built against him since 2010, which would be a contravention to the customary practice in the Swedish legal system. And it is unclear right now if a compromise has been struck on that issue. So again, Julian Assange has now agreed to deal with lawyers in London, and we'll see if anything comes from that. Difficult to say at this point. Let's move on to some national news here, jumping over to the States. One of my very favorite websites, Judicial Watch. Man, these guys do such great work trying to hold people accountable in the administration, in the DOJ, basically everywhere. And there was a report earlier this week talking about ISIS activity along the Mexican border, and that was actually put out by Judicial Watch. I think we covered that a little bit. But now the Bureau of Investigations, the Federal Bureau of Investigations, some people call them the FBI, has now called for a special meeting at the U.S. consulate in Juarez. This a high-level security intelligence source, who apparently must remain anonymous for safety reasons, confirmed that the meeting was convened specifically to address a press strategy to deny Judicial Watch's accurate reporting and identifying who is providing information to Judicial Watch. So the FBI supervisory personnel met with Mexican army officers and Mexican federal police officials, according to Judicial Watch's intelligence source. The FBI liaison officers regularly assigned to Mexico were not present at the meeting, and conspicuously absent were also representatives from the Department of Homeland Security. So it's not clear right now why the Department of Homeland Security did not participate. Publicly, U.S. and Mexico have denied that Islamic terrorists are operating on the southern border, but the rapid deployment of FBI brass in the aftermath of Judicial Watch's report seemed to indicate otherwise, and a Mexican Army field grade officer and a Mexican federal police inspector were among the sources that confirmed to Judicial Watch that ISIS is in fact operating a camp just a few miles from El Paso, Texas. The base is about 8 miles from the U.S. border in an area known as Anapra, situated just west of Juarez in the Mexican state of Chihuahua. Another ISIS cell to the west of Juarez in Puerto Palomas targets the new Mexico towns of Columbus and Deming for easy access to the United States, the same knowledgeable sources confirmed. During the course of joint operations last week, Mexican Army and federal law enforcement officials discovered documents in Arabic and Urdu, as well as plans for Fort Bliss, the sprawling military installation that houses the U.S. Army's 1st Armored Division. Muslim prayer rugs were also recovered with the documents during this operation. Coyotes engaging in human smuggling and working for the Juarez cartel helped move ISIS terrorists through the desert and across the border between Santa Teresa and Sunland Park, New Mexico. To the east of El Paso and Juarez, cartel-backed coyotes are also smuggling ISIS terrorists through the porous border between Ocala and Fort Hancock, Texas. These specific areas were targeted for exploitation by ISIS because of their understaffed municipal and county police forces, and the relative safe haven of areas provide for the unchecked large-scale drug smuggling that was already ongoing. Last August, Judicial Watch reported that ISIS, operating from Juarez, was planning to attack the United States with car bombs or other vehicle-borne improvised explosive devices. High-level U.S. federal officials, intelligence, and other sources have confirmed since then that and issued a warning bulletin for an imminent terrorist attack on the border. And agents across a number of Homeland Security, Justice, and Department agencies were placed on alert and instructed to aggressively work all possible leads and sources concerning the imminent terrorist threat. So that is what's going on fresh off the presses from Judicial Watch. They are having a big secret meeting with the FBI down in Mexico right now to try and deal with not the problem of ISIS necessarily coming over the border, but really the fact that that information is being leaked to the press. That's what they're really trying to get behind right now, get in front of, I guess I should say. Also, Rand Paul in the news right now. I don't know. I don't like him. I don't like any of these people. We've had this discussion on the air before. I'm not somebody that votes. I'm not going to go out. I don't believe that a for-profit corporation is necessarily going to elect a CEO via popular election, because I don't believe that's ever happened before in the history of for-profit corporations. So again, you have to understand the government is a corporation, and that we got no way to rein this thing in if all we're going to do is continue to elect people in various degrees of evil. That's not going to help anything out. So anyway, Rand Paul back in the news right now, and he's essentially saying he wants to simplify the tax code and downsize the IRS. So we want to water down the evil with Rand Paul is essentially what he's saying right now. We wouldn't want to figure out the fact that the government is actually a corporation, turn it on its head, and get rid of all these illegal enterprises. That would be too easy. That would make way too much sense. But what he wants to do, again, is just to water down the authority of the IRS, maybe to downsize it just a little bit. And he also wants to improve some of the tax code to benefit some of the larger businesses out there. So there you go. Rand Paul, in the pocket of big business. I really like his father. I really do. I don't like him. Marco Rubio also came out taking the opportunity on tax day to push track the tax reform plan that he had introduced at the Heritage Foundation last Wednesday. But his ploy is even more based on changing the corporate tax rate. So we've got the highest corporate tax rate on the planet, according to Marco Rubio. And he says that we need to change that to bring more investment into the United States. And again, these people who are just kowtowing to big business, to me, are not part of the team. This is part of the corporate team. And, it's a good job if you can get it. But for the rest of us out here that are trying to make ends meet and trying to actually do something productive with our lives, I tell you, not a road that I'm going to go down. Hey, if you guys want to vote, if you need a master, if you need somebody to tell you what to do, you have my permission to go out and vote. I personally am pretty hell-bent on self-governance at this point, so I'm not going to vote for anybody to be an authority over moi. Also, since we're talking about, well, what are we talking about? The government wasting time, having awkward priorities, all of the above, really. The U.S. House of Representatives on Thursdays actually ignored a White House veto threat and passed legislation to repeal the estate tax that hits inherited assets worth more than $5.4 million. So by a mostly partisan 240 to 179 vote, the Republican-backed bill will be sent to the Senate, where Democrats are expected to use procedural hurdles to try and block it. And even if it passes the Senate, it would likely fail to achieve a two-thirds majority needed to override a veto. So this House passage was timed for the week when most Americans file their tax returns, and conservatives who refer to the estate tax as a death tax have long rallied against it. But repealing the tax would boost the federal deficit by about $269 billion over 10 years, and few Americans actually pay the 40% tax on assets above the $5.4 million exclusion amount. So only about 5,400 estates in the United States, equal to about 0.2% of taxpayers, will owe such taxes in 2015. So here we are again with these people that we put into power arguing about a tax break for 2.2% of the population, and they're going to waste time in the House, they're going to waste time in the Senate, and then Barack's probably going to veto it. Anyway, I mean, it's just stupid. I'm just so sick of these people wasting time like this, doing absolutely nothing. And, of course, this is only going to benefit the big business buddies that they've got working with them, their lobbyists and all the ancillary idiots that are involved with Washington these days. Anyway, that's where we're at with the national news right now. I do have a couple more stories to come back to, one really funny one about Chicago and some more wonderful elected officials that we have to talk about today. And then we do have some economic news. We've got some science and tech stuff and some health stuff when we get back. So we're going to go to this 3-minute break. When we come back, we'll do another half hour worth of news. And then Sivan Vomar will be joining us, and we'll be having a discussion about frequency and spirituality. And it's going to set everybody up for some very deep thoughts for the rest of the day and get you all geared up for the woo. I keep forgetting to mention the woo. Remind me when I come back. We've got a big story about the woo tonight, too. So everybody, keep it right here. We'll be back in 3 minutes. Love having you guys all your friends.
Chris and Sheree Geo here, founders of Truth Frequency Radio. We just wanted to take a moment to thank all of you for making TFR the biggest and the best independent radio station out there.
When we first entered the alternative media scene in 2009, we were really taken aback by the amount of infighting, backbiting, fear-based reporting, and ego-driven personalities. That's when we knew we had to set ourselves apart and set a new standard in broadcasting. And thus, TFR was conceived as a listener-supported station with no corporate or outside influence and limited commercial interruptions.
You can support our efforts by signing up for a VIP membership at truthfrequencyradio.com/signup or by making a donation at truthfrequencyradio.com/donate.
For less than $4 a month, you can ensure that TFR continues broadcasting for years to come. Real people, real radio.
Wherever you are, make it TFR.
Time and time again.
You need to come here and help us. We need assistance. Please.
Those we should be able to depend on let us down.
Federal and state and local officials saying help is on the way. Well, the folks here in Bell Harbor say show me.
Don't depend on the government to save you. Take action now so that you're prepared for the next disaster with MyPatriotSupply.com. Get the best prices on storable food, non-GMO seeds, water filtration devices, home canning equipment, survival and self-reliance books, and more at MyPatriotSupply.com. Call 866-229-0927.
We are hurting down here, and we need help immediately.
Before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Did you know there are 3 million edible food plants on Earth, and none have the nutritional value of the hemp plant? HempUSA.org offers you hemp protein powder. It does not contain chemicals or THC, is non-GMO, and is 100% gluten-free. Hemp protein powder burns fat, builds muscle, contains 53% protein, and feeds the body the nutrients it needs. Call 888-910-4367 and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Only at HempUSA.org. Wouldn't it be nice to have one product that replaces more than 10, saving you space, time, and money? HempUSA.org has a complete full-spectrum vitamin mineral detox formulation called Micro Plant Powder Gold. Micro Plant Powder Gold contains 101 vitamins, minerals, probiotics, and iodine, has a 100-year shelf life, and is a perfect addition to any storage shelter. Make Micro Plant Powder Gold your choice. Call 888-910-4367 or visit HempUSA.org today.
Chris and Sheree Geo, Saturdays and Sundays on Truth Frequency Radio.
Welcome back to the broadcast, ladies and gentlemen. Holy cow, the chat room is filling up, you guys. I can't believe the numbers that we're pulling right now. It's just absolutely amazing. I am humbled that you guys are all in here today. A lot of new people in the chat room. I'm going to do a chat room shout out real quick because I never get a chance to do this. Anon is in there, Bag of Chips, Baldy Gaz, Cloud DP, Dr. Blues, Who is a new guy, haven't seen you before, Irish Pete, love having you in there in the morning, brother, Kev Baker, the one and only Kev Baker, obviously taking some time out of his schedule. I don't know when this guy sleeps, ladies and gentlemen, but he's in there as well. It's Yushinomo, I don't know if I'm saying that right, Lex Luthor, Obsidian is in there, Poet Fisherman's in there, PRC News, Red Linky, Robert from RPR, one of my good friends, is in there. Russ Shill Brand is a great name. Shark, Smog, Squishy, and Truth Be Told, one of my very favorite people as well. Love having all of you guys in there. I mean, so many good familiar faces, and I'm really hopeful that the new listeners are taking something away from this show. Pretty good stuff going on here right now, guys. And I got to tell you, today, Savon Bowman is going to be amazing. You guys are really going to enjoy this. He's going to be joining us in about a half an hour. We're going to be talking about spirituality and all of its ramifications, talking about frequency. The guy has been on an incredible journey. He's been on Chris and Sheree's show before, and if you haven't heard him before, you do not want to miss this particular broadcast. I also want to say, too, since we're going to be talking about spirituality and frequency and things like that, this is going to be a fantastic lead-in to the Woo Crew tonight, and I keep forgetting to plug the Woo Crew, but Anthony Patch is going to be joining us tonight, and I'll tell you, one thing I did get a chance to listen to on Kev's show yesterday is that although Anthony has been on the show before in terms of the Woo Crew, talking about CERN and talking about spirituality and some of the transitions that are taking place, apparently, ladies and gentlemen, we have not yet even scratched the surface. So I got to tell you, I am ecstatic about this evening's Woo Crew show. It's going to be absolutely amazing. Kev right now is saying there will be new information revealed tonight live on the Woo Crew regarding CERN, and he is using all caps, ladies and gentlemen, so I know when he does that, he is not joshing. So this is going to be an amazing, amazing show tonight. Definitely appreciate all of you guys being here at Truth Frequency Radio. Appreciate all the support you guys are showing, not only our little show, but all of the other hosts as well. I would probably be able to spend the last 25 minutes talking accolades about some of these other hosts. But I got to get into some more news here right now because there's more things going on that you guys need to be aware of. We talked last week about this story of Eric Harris's death. He was the guy who died at the hands of that Tulsa County police officer, that sheriff who was 73 years old, right? He was a volunteer who was out playing police at the time, and apparently was somebody who has made a large series of donations to the local sheriff's department, which is essentially why he got to go out and play police officer. But his story, this story about Eric Harris's death, is getting worse and worse by the minute. He was, of course, fatally shot by the reserve deputy Robert Bates, and apparently Mr. Bates, according to new sources, received no firearm training, zero firearm training or field training at all, none, zip, zilch, goose egg, never held a gun in his hands before being assigned to the county's violent crime task force, and that supervisors actually falsified records to make it appear that Bates had received the state-required training. And sources within the Tulsa County Sheriff's Office told Tulsa World that they were instructed to give Bates credit for his field training that he never received, and also firearm certificates that he did not have when he applied as an advanced reserve deputy in 2007. So at least three of the reserve deputy Robert Bates's supervisors were transferred after refusing to sign off on his state required training. So they actually fired three of his supervisors, three people that would have been his supervisors, because they would not sign off on this guy. That's how big of a donation this guy must have made to the sheriff's department. That money talks and everything else goes, ladies and gentlemen. So anyway, additionally, Sheriff Stanley Glantz told Tulsa Radio News this week that Bates had been certified to use three different weapons, including a revolver, which is the one that he fired at Harris. but the sheriff has now said that he's been unable to find any paperwork on those certifications. So again, it's no wonder that a police investigator was quick to portray Bates as shooting Harris as a totally understandable mix-up. But despite the police sergeant's sunny review, prosecutors have now charged Bates with second-degree murder in a manslaughter form for Harris's death. And video shows Harris, who is unarmed, pinned down on the ground by other deputies after Bates fired, and after Harris complained that he could not breathe, one deputy could be heard telling him to F your breath. So, yeah, good times. Anyway, the guy didn't even have the authority to play police officer, and then they put him on the street. There are a lot of places around the country where people like this can just sign up and become a police officer, ladies and gentlemen. And we're not talking about just becoming a regular police officer, because those guys get a whopping 5 whole months of training. That's a true story. You can ask Dale Brown about that. 5 whole months of training. So you don't even have to join the military anymore to get to go play with a whole bunch of military gear. In fact, you don't even have to go through the 5 months of training that it takes to become a police officer. You can join one of these stupid sheriff, reserve deputy programs, pay a fee, and essentially become a fictional police officer. But at least in this particular case, that didn't work out so well, and this guy hopefully is going to go to jail for murder, because that's exactly what he did. Okay, moving away from that. Ah, man, stories like that just drive me absolutely crazy. A little bit of a follow-up here right now. According to a new report, the Social Security Administration, since I think June of 2012, since this whole illegal amnesty program essentially was put into effect, 541,000 illegal aliens have now received Social Security numbers. I'm not going to go much further with that, but again, more than 500,000 people so far. And of course, this whole program was supposedly stopped a couple of weeks ago by that federal injunction from the judge there in Texas. But in the meantime, 541,000 Social Security numbers given. So I wonder why they're so hell-bent on giving out Social Security numbers. Could it happen to be the fact that with the Social Security number, they create a straw man fictional corporate entity for you to engage in commerce, which is why you can't engage in commerce unless you are an agent for a corporation. So again, with that also comes all that future time, talent, and energy that they're able to cultivate from those new birth certificates, because they can say, hey, we got these people now, people being the operative word, that are going to produce for us for the, you know, the rest of our lives, and that's how we float our fiat currency in this country. And if you missed all that, go back and listen to Deborah Tavares. She does a great job breaking it down yesterday, talking about one of Woodrow Wilson's advisors, I think, that actually put most of this into writing in a secret memo that it was actually broken out. But again, lots of information tied into your birth certificate, and very important that the amnesty situation is focused on that, because that is what floats the fiat currency in our country, ladies and gentlemen. And if you don't understand that, well, we're kind of at a loss here at this point. So again, 541,000 new Social Security numbers administered to illegal aliens. Again, that's what floats the fiat currency. So if you've been following all of that, makes a lot of sense. Here's something that does not make sense that Aaron and Mel over at TrueStream Media actually broke just yesterday. They're talking about the TSA. The TSA right now apparently is training their employees to start carrying guns. That's true. They haven't actually come out and said it in so many words, but there are some solicitations now at FedBiz Ops, which we talked about yesterday when we talked about the new request for the, 62.5 million rounds of AR-15 ammo. Same website, FedBizOps.gov. But anyway, you can go there now and you can show and you can see that the DHS has actually been contracting the use of firing ranges in close proximity to airports in numerous American cities for its personnel. And in particular, the solicitation say that DHS will provide ammunition targets and firearm instructors. A number of sites at a cost of $500,000 taxpayer dollars have already been funded. So the money that was used to reserve facilities and pay for hundreds of thousands of rounds of ammunition. In the BizOps specs, the DHS is calling for training that includes night fire drills, rapid fire drills, in addition to more specialized training. So they don't actually go on right on the website there to show that it is the TSA. Again, the brief federal business opportunity descriptions do not actually mention TSA by name, but the detailed synopsis below does. So it says that TSA reserves the right to inspect all proposed sites to ensure compliance and all requirements set forth above. Also, the TSA is listed as the solicitor, and contracts for personnel are email addresses at the TSA.gov. So again, TSA basically getting ready to arm their people nationwide. And again, these are people, in my opinion, that shouldn't really have a job at McDonald's at this point. I don't understand why we're trying to arm TSA officers, but apparently that's what we're doing. And here's another, this is my chuckle for the day. I try and get one chuckly story, and usually it has to do with somebody elected for an office somewhere saying something stupid. And that's what we're talking about here. This, Chicago alderman, his name is Ed Burke. He was cited yesterday saying, and this is a direct quote, that a world-class city like Chicago really needs topless strippers. That's what he said. I'm not going to go any further with that, but that's what Chicago alderman, if you voted for Ed Burke as an alderman, that's what he cares about for Chicago right now. Not gun control or, you know, getting the concealed carry permit thing straightened out, all that. Nope. We got to bring booze and topless dancing because, of course, oh, it's a world-class city, and that's what every world-class city needs, booze and topless dancers. So there's your chuckle for the day. I thought that was pretty funny. Okay, moving on. Let's get into some economic news right now. We do have a lot of stuff to talk about here. The Dow currently down a lot, almost 300 points. We're down about 270 in early trading right now, 17,841. The S&P also down just a little bit, 2,074. Dollar index also taking a bit of a dip this morning. 97.82 is the dollar index right now. And oh man, it's killing me here. Killing me. Where's my euro? Okay, the euro on the rise because the dollar goes down, the euro goes up. We are at 107.79. Bitcoin is dropped a little bit again today, 221.06. And if your commodities, $1,204 will get you an ounce of gold. So that is up about 0.5% today. Silver, it's pretty flat, actually, $16.27. And crude oil, down a little bit today, but still well above the 50 mark at $55.92 big pennies. So that's what's going on with all of that. Crazy stuff going on in the markets early this morning. All of the Bloomberg terminals went down this morning for nearly 2.5 hours. All around the world, the Bloomberg terminals refused to connect, and no clear cause has yet been announced. And hundreds of thousands of traders were pretty much locked out of the world's dominant trading and data platform this morning. Bloomberg did confirm the outage, but again, no cause has been mentioned so far. They tweeted this morning that they were currently restoring service to the customers who were affected by today's network issue, and they are again investigating the cause. It also looks like some people switched over to the less popular Reuters system during the outage. So it happened at about 3 o'clock a.m. New York time or 8 a.m. London time, and then it went to about 10:30 London time when traders said they were able to start getting access again. But again, this is the largest connection, you know, the largest system in terms of trading that there is on the planet right now, and it was down London time and early trading for 3 hours this morning. That's crazy. I have no idea how that possibly could have happened. You know, that's just another goofy thing that's gone on in the economy here right now. So we'll have to see if that ends up being some kind of cyber attack or where the money went, things like that. Just kind of hard to say. Greek officials. Okay, let's talk about Greece again. It's really back and forth on, it's like watching some kind of tennis match, isn't it? With Greece going back and forth between the Troika and their citizens. But, anyway, the Greek officials say that negotiators are to meet representatives of the country's creditors again tomorrow on Saturday to try and find common ground in these torturous talks over the future of the Greek bailout. Dependent on funds from the two multi-billion euro bailouts since 2010, Greece right now is very quickly running out of cash. And negotiations with representatives of its creditors in other eurozone countries, the International Monetary Fund and the ECB, have not gone well. And with the new left-wing government in Athens insisting that their demands are too erroneous. So for their part, the creditors insist the country must produce credible reforms before they unlock the final 7.2 billion euro installment. Without it, Greece could default on debts it must repay to the IMF next month and run out of cash to pay salaries and pensions. So again, not out of the woods in Greece yet. And I got to tell you, all bets are pretty much off in Greece right now. And I mean that very, very literally for Greece. All the bets are off, and you know it's over when the bookies, the bookies are closing their markets. From bookmaker William Hill, they have now closed their markets on whether or not Greece will leave the Eurozone during 2015 or on which country will be the first to leave the Eurozone in general. Greece had been heavily backed down, RO1-5, to be the first to quit the Eurozone, and we'd also been shortening the odds for Greece to leave during 2015. They came down from 5-1 to 3-1, according to a William Hill spokesperson, Graham Sharp. He is saying now it's looking very increasingly likely that they could begin the process of departing very shortly. So no one is interested in backing Greece to stay in the Eurozone, meaning that they're not going to – nobody's betting on Greece to stay in the Eurozone at a bookie level. That's basically what this entire article is about. So also as a reminder – just this morning, reports indicated that Athens had now appealed to the IMF for a reshuffling of its debt repayment schedule so that the government could pay its pensions and public sector wages while attempting to renegotiate a deal with the creditors, and Cyprus was apparently rebuffed. These are new reports coming out just this morning. So again, all bets are currently off in terms of Greece leaving the euro, most people thinking that that's probably what is going to happen. A new link between Asia and Europe through Russia will potentially create millions of new jobs and also slash travel time between the two by three quarters. It's expected to change the world economic map and bring Russia-Asian economic ties to a new level. This trans-Eurasian belt is a multi-billion dollar project led by Russian railways there. It's expected to create at least 20 million jobs in Russia over the next two decades, and the plan has been in work for many years now. In the economic crisis is the best time to move forward on this action, according to the head of the Economic Institute of the Russian Academy of Science, who spoke to RT earlier this week. So this project includes a number of transport corridors, as well as a huge infrastructure system, pipelines, and telecom networks running along the route. You guys get the feeling that China is getting ready to just leave us in the dirt, ladies and gentlemen. I have that feeling right now. So there's two strategic aspects to this project. One is a transit corridor between Europe and Central Asia, established with all of the modern and smart functions. The second is its creation and the development of a network of industrial economic corridors within the territory of the Russian Federation. So this project will involve some European countries like Italy, Austria, and Germany, as well as various countries within the former Soviet territory and Eastern Asia, including Japan, South Korea, China, Mongolia, and Ohashi. So with a minimum cost estimated to be about $20 billion, the project hopefully will bring much more to all of the participant countries and reshape the world economy, according to experts from around the world. So again, China and Russia moving quickly to get out from under the dollar hegemony and doing some pretty amazing stuff over there. So that's what's happening in that neck of the woods. Also wanted to point out that the former Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke will be serving as a senior advisor to Citadel, which is an investment firm. And Citadel said that Bernanke will continue with its teams on developments in monetary policy, financial markets, and the global economy. Bernanke was the chairman of the Federal Reserve from February of 2006 until January of 2014. He will continue to serve in other roles, including as a distinguished fellow in residence with the Brookings Economic Studies Program and its Hutchins Center on Fiscal and Monetary Policy. Just have to wonder how much that guy is going to get paid to go over to Citadel right now. Man, this is an awesome story. I have to tell you this. We may not get into the science and tech stuff, but I have to tell you this. This person, this Dutch central banker, apparently was fired earlier this month. Now, I found this to be kind of funny, but maybe it's not that funny. I don't know. The identity of this former employee of the Dutch central bank in question currently right now today is unknown. But what is known is that the Monetary Authority of the Netherlands has in fact fired a 46-year-old female employee who for 6 of her 8 years with the Capital Bank there made money on the side as a quote-unquote dominatrix prostitute who described herself as a high-class nymphomaniac and earned $10,000 a week dressing up as a Nazi and whipping men. you'd think I would be making something like this up, but I'm not making this up. So her real name remains unknown, although having worked previously for both the ABN AMRO and ING Bank, it's probably only a matter of time before her ex-colleagues can identify her. But her professional name is public. Conchita Vanderwall is, and her motto, the kinkier the better, is also public. Her role at the Dutch Central Bank is unknown, but according to the Irish Times, she had a supervisory role. So the central banker prostitute, which, you know, for those of you guys out there who are really smart, you might consider that central banker prostitute to be, I don't know, grammatically redundant. But anyway, the central banker prostitute also offered to engage in sexual role play, according to the Dutch language business magazine called Quote, which said that one of the roles she was photographed online was that of an SS commandant. And before anyone accuses this of being just another tabloid story, the central bank has indeed confirmed it received a tip-off about the employee's double life, had investigated the circumstances, and that she has in fact been fired at the end of last year because of integrity issues. And as the Irish Times also sarcastically points out, from a work point of view, there seems little doubt that Ms. Vanderwall contravened with the central bank's code of conduct, which forbids indecent behavior and stipulates that no employee should act in a way which could harm the reputation of the bank or lead to negative publicity. But the good news for Conchita is that she does not actually face any criminal charges. Prostitution is legal in the Netherlands. However, sex workers are expected to register with their local chamber of commerce, have a VAT number, and pay income tax, none of which Ms. Vanderwall appears to have done, leaving herself open to a possible legal action for back taxes. Taxes which the local authority will be delighted to collect, since she has set out her service charges on her website starting at €450 an hour and includes a rate for a quote-unquote wonderful weekend. So naturally, once the story was leaked by Dutch Quote, all of Conchita's pictures and online ads vanished from the internet. But that's probably too late at this point. And there's actually more bad news. She may also face difficulties because her S&M studio on the outskirts of Amsterdam appears to be in a building in which immoral behavior is specifically outlined under the terms of the contract, which it was bought in 2012, allegedly by Ms. Vanderwall's husband. So again, I mean, is it really surprising? I kind of feel like maybe she's got more integrity than the rest of the people out there, because at least she had the decency to arrange mutually agreeable terms and to charge people for an actual product, versus all the other central bankers out there that pretty much just bum you all the time and they don't even tell you about it. You know what I mean? So I don't know. It's arguable that she might actually have more integrity than some of the other central bankers. But again, Dutch central banker fired for being a Nazi cross-dressing nymphomaniac dominatrix prostitute. And you guys think I could make something like that up? But again, that's who's running the world right now, ladies and gentlemen. Man, so excited to be a part of it all. I want to give you guys a little bit of science news here. There's a particularly nasty piece of malware called Coin Vault, and it has started popping up a few months ago, and its intent is to extort money from people by holding their files ransom. This is a piece of ransomware. It's affected thousands of Windows PCs during its run, but today you can cross that off your list of things to worry about. The National High-Tech Crime Unit of the Netherlands Police and the security firm Kaspersky Labs have now released the decryption keys necessary to get rid of Coin Vault at no charge. Coin Vault is a pretty insidious piece of software, because once it's installed on your Windows machine, it goes to work making an encrypted copy of all the files on your system, and then it uses a strong AES 256 key to ensure that these files are inaccessible to the user, and then it deletes the original files and starts asking for money in the form of bitcoins to exchange for the decryption keys. So Coin Vault is pretty slimy, but the way the software encourages victims to pay up is also pretty clever. To prove the file still exists and can be restored, it lets the user decrypt one file for free, and you can also see a list of all the encrypted files on your system. The cost to unlock these files is a few hundred euros, but there's a countdown clock that increases the cost every time it hits zero, which it does cheerfully every couple of days. It also has a cheerful notification pop-up, doesn't actually have any overt threats, and there's no admission that you're actually paying the people who encrypted your hard drive And it does have an email address even in case you need help or support. But Kaspersky got his hands on the decryption keys as part of a larger effort to take down the SIMDA botnet. And along the way, Dutch authorities located the command and control server for CoinVault, which contained a wealth of information, including infection vectors, decryption keys, and Bitcoin wallets. So Kaspersky has now created an online tool that victims can use to obtain the keys for their files immediately. All you have to do is provide the Bitcoin address from the CoinVault window, and you'll get your key. So again, Kaspersky then gathering all of the Bitcoin addresses that are responsible for this and probably going to go after them in some after-the-fact sort of way. But they also have a simple decryption program that you can download to restore your files. So it's not completely out of the woods yet if you do have this CoinVault infector system, but for the most part, they do have just about all of the decryption keys available right now, and they're, of course, gathering more as time goes on. So at least there are a lot of other ransomware programs out there, so you guys need to stay, kind of keep your head on a swivel. Again, if you guys are getting emails from people that you don't know with attachments or even pictures, JPEGs, anything like that can infect your computer, so just be smart out there. But at least this is something you can now cross off your list as something to worry about. And if you go to redpillreports.com and check out the show section where all the news is aggregated, you'll be able to find this article underneath the science and tech stuff. It's headlined, Kaspersky releases CoinVault ransomware decryption keys for free. So if you are infected and need to go and get that, that is where you can go and get that. So let's see. What else do we want to talk about? We've only got like a minute left. Let me see if there's any I got to get this story out of the way here. You guys know I'm a crazy dog lover. And right now in the health news, there is a canine flu outbreak that has apparently sickened many dogs here in the Midwest, and veterinarians are cautioning pet owners now to keep their dogs from going nose to nose with other four-legged friends. This University of Wisconsin-Madison School of Veterinary Medicine says the virus has sickened at least 1,000 dogs in Illinois, Wisconsin, Ohio, and Indiana, and recent tests from the Wisconsin Veterinary Diagnostic Laboratory have identified the strain as H3N2. It's an older strain. H3N8 has also been detected in the region. Both viruses can cause persistent coughs, runny noses, and fevers in dogs. And they also say that cats can be affected as well. So maybe if you guys are in the Midwest right now, avoid going to the dog parks this weekend. It might be a good thing to do. Of course, this isn't something that is actually killing animals out there. But again, we try and keep everybody healthy, and we want to keep your pets healthy too. So just something to be aware of. Lots of other health and science and tech news stuff that I could not get through today. But we've got to go to the stream and a break, guys. When we come back, Savan Bomar is going to be joining us, and you guys are not going to want to miss this. Keep it right here, guys. We got to go to the stream and a break. We'll be back in a flash. See you in a second, guys.
Chris and Sheree Geo here, founders of Truth Frequency Radio. We just wanted to take a moment to thank all of you for making TFR the biggest and the best independent radio station out there.
When we first entered the alternative media scene in 2009, we were really taken aback by the amount of infighting, backbiting, fear-based reporting, and ego-driven personalities. That's when we knew we had to set ourselves apart and set a new standard in broadcasting. And thus, TFR was conceived as a listener-supported station with no corporate or outside influence and limited commercial interruptions.
You can support our efforts by signing up for a VIP membership at truthfrequencyradio.com/signup or by making a donation at truthfrequencyradio.com/donate.
For less than $4 a month, you can ensure that TFR continues broadcasting for years to come. Real people, real radio.
Wherever you are, make it TFR. Did you know that the blue lotus flower was used by the ancient Egyptians as an aphrodisiac to experience feelings of euphoria and ecstasy? And ecstasy. And ecstasy. Did you know that Thai kratom was used by the Buddhist monks to produce a relaxing and dreamlike state? Did you know San Pedro cactus was used by the Native Americans to quest for visions and heal the body? Bouncing Bear Botanicals is your number one supplier of rare and sacred plants and a proud sponsor of Truth Frequency Radio. By clicking on the banner at truthfrequencyradio.com, you can learn more about a vast selection of entheogens, including Amanita muscaria, also known as the sacred mushroom. So click on the banner at truthfrequencyradio.com, and you'll also get up to $40 off your next order.
Archaeology, astronomy, alchemy, secrets of the Holy Bible, hidden codes of the Quran, demonology, Tesla technology, solar power, extraterrestrials in the ancient world. More than 500 documentaries, an experimental film lab of cutting-edge music and art, full-length movies, conference reports, and weekly TV shows. The Enigma Channel is the world's first truly global TV station. www.enigmatv.com. Intelligent television for planet Earth.
Real people, real radio.
Initiating the Truth Frequency.
This is Truth Frequency Radio.
Welcome back to the broadcast, ladies and gentlemen. Oh my goodness, we are getting ready to have an amazing conversation. I gotta tell you guys, I am so excited to have made the acquaintance of Savon Bowman in the last 24 hours. He is an amazing individual, ladies and gentlemen. I'm sure many of you guys heard him when he was on the Chris and Cherie show, but I am very, very excited to be bringing him to you guys if you have not heard of him before. I do want you guys definitely to check out his websites, and I've been plugging these all week. The most important one right now is probably astralquest.com, but he also is the purveyor of realmdynamics.com. And then we've got another one to talk about today, which is just getting ready to hit the internet here in the next week, called secretenergy.com. And I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, you will lose 3 months of your life when you go to these websites, because they are literally like a black hole of awesomeness. The amount of information that Savon has cultivated and put out there for public dissemination is just absolutely astounding. Most of it has to do with our quest towards spirituality and understanding how it is that we deal with one another and how we deal with the world and the universe as it is. Just amazing, amazing stuff. He's probably one of the most diverse and enigmatic speakers that I've ever run across. He really raises the bar for what's generally discussed by mental, spiritual, and physical advisors, and he's rapidly exploding as recognition is exploding with his very unique message. He also specializes in linguistics, etymology, and ciphering. He extracts the esoteric meaning within language, and he has spent years in deep study diving through symbolism, occult sigils, geometry. He's become an expert in what we would talk about when we try and define exactly what the veil of consciousness is. So I am very, very excited to be welcoming Savon Bomar III to the program today. Savon, very, very big thanks to you taking some time out to join us on the Red Pill Reports this morning.
Honest, JD, you know I'm super excited to be here. I'm about to implode all over the microphone. Just...
I tell you, man,
we got an hour, so
we only have an hour. So let's jump in. Let's jump in. Now, again, I've told the websites and I do want people to check those out, but hold off a little bit until we get to actually chat with Savon. Now, Savon, you've got an amazing background, my friend, and it's incredibly diverse. Do you want to, before we kind of jump into where your research has led you, let's touch on just kind of who you are and how you've gone through this journey and gotten to where you are today, sir?
Okay, let's see how fast I can do it this time.
Okay.
So, in every tense, you know, I'd like to start off in some type of common ground. I notice that that's really useful because it gives us all a place to take off from. So I would definitely say that I'm a human being. I'm just like you. I'm looking for the answers to what's going on in the reality based on my experiences. It just so happens that in life, this time it's taking me down a path to where I can start paying attention to things that I feel like are what's controlling the reality. And actually, it's even gone beyond what I feel like. This is stuff that I've seen happen, experience happen, and also talk to thousands of other people who can connect what's going on here. And so I really look at Earth very similar to the dream plane in many tense, to where you don't really know where you are. You don't really know how to map it. We just think we know where we are. We think we know how to map it. And that gives us a certain sense of security. But in truth, you know, we have a lot to really discover on the planet. And so that's what I was doing ever since I was younger. I was looking for the meaning to life, but more importantly, actually the meaning behind death, meaning what happens when you die. And I continued to pursue that idea even when I got into just being in what they call the world and doing worldly things. I love the way they say it like that. But basically when I had to go into the world and do my own thing to begin to survive, it never left my consciousness to keep asking the big question and keep pondering that until I discovered it. So what happened to me was about 7 years ago now, 6 or 7 years ago, I went through a very, very aggressive, I'll say, spiritual experience. And I think most real spiritual experiences have a tendency to be aggressive anyway, because they shake your foundation. They basically let you know that the way you thought things were before is actually not the way things are. And so you swoon a bit as you know, get yourself together and get your legs stable again. So what happened to me was I went into a high vibration. And when going through that vibration, I was able to access a large amount of information, which was coming in the form of also energy. And when I returned, which all happened in just a short moment, I was able to retain that energy, and it was kind of encrypted. So I've even now been spending the last 7 years, 8 years now, decrypting that information. And then what all the platforms that we have are different variations of that information brought to people in a way in which they can, you know, digest it. So, you know, different strokes for different folks for sure. There's not one formula for all of us. So anyone who's looking for it, stop. You're wasting your time. The reality is truth is limitless. So everyone will have some of it. And it's just most important for us to figure out, again, our own personal alchemical formula.
Yes.
Because each person has, you know, these different size, crucibles and vessels. And it's important to kind of see some of the real exploration in understanding how vast our consciousness is and what we can do from some of the examples in the past. But of course, because there's so much misinterpretation behind things, you do just have to go back to some of the simple stuff and then start to really pull the much more deeper things. And to me, one of those things is alchemy, because whether people know it or not, even the actual crucibles and ovens and things that they use to work the process of alchemy are designed after the organs in our body, because the whole goal of alchemy is basically to create something very similar to what the body creates when it makes a seed germ, meaning that when the male body actually pulls in all of this energy and pulls in this food, this chicken, and whatever the person may be consuming, and then brings out a microcosmic version of that person through their semen, then that process right there is known to be really one of the highest levels of knowledge that you can possess. And that if you could do something like that, if you could somehow figure out how to create that kind of process over again, what was discovered is that you not only accomplish that within yourself, you can also do it with other things that are in the reality with you. And so this gives us a whole new way to look at the reality. And one of the biggest examples that I have of this is that sometimes when we say female, especially to other humans, we think of the human female. And then right away we associate what we think the quote unquote divine feminine is with that last girl or example of a woman that we've met, right? But in reality, there's female lions, there's female ants, there's female spiders, there's a whole back into what the female energy really is, just like there's a whole back into what the male energy really is. So once we get more familiar with how to work ourselves out with those formulas, then we are able to accomplish some amazing things. And many of my colleagues and peers, such as individuals like Dan Winter, have been bringing forth information that has also been very useful for other individuals that just see it more of in a scientific way to start understanding what exactly is going on here. so we can get on with this already, meaning the joy, the laughter, the all of what comes with being a true human being, especially living on a planet where this many creative people here waiting to explore their creativity, right? So in most cases, everyone is bottled up and just has all of this energy to release. And now what's necessary is just the individuals that come and explain to those individuals how they release their energy. Uh-huh. Now, I didn't say they need to explain to those individuals how to release their energy. That's something they're going to have to do. All they have to do is, hey, this is some of the stuff I did. You know, you may want to try it. I have another friend, he says he did this and he perfected it like this. Mix it together, whatever, what you like, and then see what happens with you. And I think that is going to get us very far. It actually has gotten us very far because obviously we have quite a few platforms now, and then Secret Energy is about to come in and really, you know, I don't see, there is no sites out there like it. So, you know, but the thing is it's open source, so it's not a competition. Like we feature a lot of other sites, and I did give you an opportunity to log in last night, JD, and I'm not sure if you navigated to shows and stations, but you would have seen yourself there.
I did.
And then that's how we're really working it, is that anyone that we know that we deal with, it is 100% curated still. We don't want to throw the Pope up there, but you know, anyone that we know we deal with that are really intending to push this along, and you can just feel intentions, like whether the information is tight or not. I mean, that's going to come with a process for all of us.
Right.
But you know, we're going to be there to support you and to also put you in front of other individuals that would be interested in that same thing. So
I love it. And I love this concept of open source spirituality too. And I want to kind of touch on that too. So, you know, we've got a lot of different people that come on the show, Sivan, and a lot of people, not a lot of people, but you know, we have a lot of opinions out there about whether or not things like meditation and yoga, understanding, your own individual power. Some of those people out there think that that angle is kind of, I don't want to say evil, but as potentially could be exploited by a force of evil if there was one out there. You know, if you are going into a meditative cycle and you don't understand what you're doing, the potential to open yourself up for influence from some negative force, I guess, is a concern that some people have. I don't necessarily share that concern, and I wonder what you think about or what type of advice you might offer to somebody who is kind of just dipping their toe into this new spirituality, you know, that the construct that we're kind of moving into here in the world. How do we get those people to understand that what we're talking about really is universal and is really actually not necessarily detrimental to yourself?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, what I'll definitely say is that any question that a person really has about all this or any experience that they've had in this, I've had that experience too. So I'm only going to speak from experience. And what you have to do is, first of all, make yourself relative to this space and time. Like you can't go back 2,000, 3,000 years, take knowledge and information from there, and then not know how to apply that 2,000, 3,000 years on the timeline in the future and be able to see what is the connection that still remains with that. And for many people to really understand what happens, especially when you have to begin to experiment on yourself, there is a rebellious frequency that is tied into that, because in this specific space and time, they tell you not to do that, meaning that you have all these books such as the Bible and all these religious dogmas and institutions that say, this is how things are. You're not supposed to look out any further. So when someone sets laws, rules, boundaries, bulls, edicts, and all the rest of that stuff, and they start laying out all the guidelines that they don't even go by, because no supreme being could even go by those guidelines and truly expand, what then happens is that one becomes subject then to this back and forth, God or the devil on the shoulders saying, okay, I think this is getting a little crazy. I don't know if you should go to that meditation class again. I felt something weird. And if I'm exposed, so then again, the fear factor starts to kick in, et cetera. But again, this is all coming from one frequency, and it's just called rebellion. It's because the person is literally having to rebel against the common dogma, the king, the rest of the different hierarchies in the reality in order to begin to light up and experience their full state of consciousness and being. So I think that in every tense, yeah. Both is going on there. You know, this is, you know, I have three words for this dimension: free for all at certain points, meaning right. that there are people running around that believe do what they want is the whole of their law, because there is no law unless one creates it and then one chooses to abide by that law. So if you look at a construct, and this is why as I was listening to one Dan's recording last night, so it's all in my mind, but he was talking about how we embed planets, and that's really what our thing is. Like that's how we create our families, our realities, our, you know, our constructs, all the stuff that we have, is we have to first embed So when you do embed at first, there's nothing. There's no boundaries. There's no drawing out maps. There's no words. There's no none of that. And that's what a big part of creation is. And that's why the creation principle was tied always into one specific, I would say, phonetic, now that I'm seeing it correctly. And it's within this IAO, which some know as known as Abrasax, and then some, then it gets a whole theism around, and then it becomes an angel, and it becomes a god king, and it becomes all sorts of stuff, but it's basic. When we look at the two words in and out, we see if we take off all the letters and just give us the first letters, what is it? It's a I and a O. And we're so familiar with the I and the O in our daily activities, especially with the opposite sex, then we should already know what kind of construct that we're in. We're in an input-output reality. And every time that we go outwards to do something, to create something, to send any kind of external anything, we immediately take on the frequency of the I. And then at that point, though, it's all about, well, how much amplification do you have? How much impact do you actually have? And so we're dealing with a reality where generally the strongest impact, the tornado that's steering itself, as they say, the strongest impact is going to steer the current of what on a much more larger scale looks like a donut or a torus, but humans are inside of it. Okay. And as atoms, they're basically then inside of a hadron collider. And this thing is constantly spiraling around, and that spiral is generating so much energy, and then it's generating the fusion. And that fusion is the same fusion of mom and dad coming together and getting ready to create again another Big Bang, which again is all the terminology. And so I think that what happens on the dimension also is if a big part of even being rebellious is actually exploring and understanding fully what the sexual nature is about. So this means that the being is really grows up with somewhat of a mental and spiritual and physical deficiency of realizing what input and output the pole and the whole is really about. And so this is how it all ties together. Now, this is where Freud and Jung didn't finish going, because I'm sure that was right after they broke up. You know, the knowledge went in two different directions, but where they could have concluded with it was, is that if you're raised in any kind of atmosphere to where you're not getting either input or output, you become bottled up. And this is the big thing that I wanted to talk about today, is that we must learn, well, we get to learn. I'm not going to tell anybody what they need to do anymore.
Right.
You get to learn how to work with your input and your output and how to do them both equally so you can truly expand on a physical plane. Because physical planes, and that's a really loose term because there's spirits here, so I don't get the terminology. But again, the physical plane has a in and a out to it. It has a day and a night. It has a heartbeat in, heartbeat out. Right. It has a breathe in, breathe out. So at any point, if we decide not to do that, I'm going away. I'm going to my cave. I'm tired of everyone. That means that, yeah, it may work all fine and dandy for a while in output, right? Uh-huh. But if you don't do any input after a while, you're going to implode, because whoever does not do one or the other while being here, first things will start to go not as well because they're off balance. Now, might as well make it be straight. I have had this issue, still have this issue. We all have this issue trying to figure out how to do this balance thing, because either we want to figure out what's the good one, what's the bad one. So in this tense, then where we're really at then, as it was termed in ancient times, is you're just the chariot. You're just the engine in a tense. You're doing the bad, good, bad, good, bad, good, bad, but in, out, in, out, in, out, in, out. And you're doing that, and that's just generating energy. But if you really want to get to the top of this thing, if you want to start to be able to steer where your consciousness is going, rather than just being a piece in a huge black and white checkerboard 64-bit I Ching way of changes, cause and effect type cycle, then that's where, I can encourage a person to just start tuning into what exactly we've been talking about. And it's because now we take it all back apart and we see that, okay, you know what? I've demonized, just like we were talking about with the whole rebellion. Mm-hmm. It's a formula. You're going to need certain levels of frequency at certain points to get through this. If you're going to need rebellion at a certain point. So if you castle out the rebellious force altogether and you don't happen to have it when the next Anu or next cycle comes around when you really need it, then you're going to face the diametric opposition of not having it. And because all this ties into currency, this is your own personal management of your energetic system.
Wow.
If you don't end up having it, when you don't, when it's time to actually put some output, right? And when it's time to put some output, nothing comes out.
Uh-huh.
And this is the main thing, because now if we then take the I and the O and away from the cooties, meaning take it away from the penis and the vagina, because that would be only the physical explanation of it. They'll even try to tell you a little bit in some of the super encrypted books. It says that the supreme beings are likened more unto the appearance of your genitalia. And it's like, that's as close as they'll bring it to you, because it's all oath. It's all secrets, meaning, what did it say? For your eyes only, meaning you would need to experience this.
Right.
Not so much as read it. Read it would be the map. Experiencing it would be the terrain. Now, no soldier thinks that the terrain in the map are the same.
That's right.
Because it's going to be a whole different thing when you get on the ground. And so this is also why it's very easy after a while to see if a person has really experienced this stuff, or are they just what would be called in the ancient text vainly reciting, meaning that, you know, they're reading the stuff, but there's still all the, well, this looks like, you know, I don't know if this is evil. I don't know if there's good, you know, there's a lot of that going on, and that prevents the person from actually going into action. And then this becomes like more of a bigger trick of the reality, because everyone is playing a game, and those games do start with words. And
right.
in certain tense with the words, if something is literally saying in your mind, all day something, and you're just sitting there listening, there's no action there. So you have to be careful of that, because that means you've been taking a lot of input. And then now where's your output? Now where's, if someone is telling you something that you can really learn from, you can really go do, they should have sent you on your way. But if they're just dictating to you and telling you, oh, you should love others. Well, yeah, I think you told me that like 3,000 times, right? Is there anything more to this before I leave? Yes. Treat everyone as you treat yourself. This is the key to the great arcana. You know, it's a lot of talking. And then what I noticed was, is that this was another trick to the world, which is synonymous with the word. Okay. It's only an L in the difference between word and world, right? So the word was when you don't speak real words. Because we have this other languages and tongues, our voice can be a lot deeper, it can be a lot more high pitched. We can pull sound from all the way from the bottom of our feet all the way to the top and bring it through full manifestation. So we have a lot that we can do with sound, right?
Uh-huh.
So when we're not doing that and we're on this Desmodema backwards, as it says, backwards, the words are going in the wrong way script known as English or English, what then happens is that the individual has words that don't have any power. So then this is what happens. I can sit here and talk all day till I turn blue in my face about all of the big things that we're actually capable of doing. But if we never get together to actually do them, what have I done? I've created an illusion. And that's why words, you know, we talk about on everything that we produce, and really we're the forerunners of it in many cases, except for individuals such as Jordan Maxwell and people who, the guy who wrote Arnold Wadler, One Language, One Tongue, these kind of individuals, which I read actually later. I had gotten the download about the words right away. The first thing that came to me and said, yeah, James, that's my real name. You like to play games. So you're trying to get light, meaning I was always trying to go higher, Jetsons.
Right.
But you need to get light all around me, fancy cars, all this infrastructure, basically. You got too much weight. This is all the stuff that was around me. So you're just going to wait, meaning you'll never go anywhere with this stuff.
Wow.
So okay. I got rid of it all. The experience was so vivid, though. But the thing was, is that I have also, and as I talked to you before, I have a very sound, logical side. I just want people to understand that I did only logic before my massive spiritual experience. Now, I was raised and spiritualized as a child, but I always analyzed it from a logical mind. And then when I went to have a career and a job set, I chose to become an engineer, a computer engineer. And so I was doing the world of zeros and ones for a while. So to me, God actually didn't make sense because of the construct in which I was introduced to God.
Okay.
And that was that God was the supreme being, and we need to do right by God. And then if we don't, it's going to be a problem when this is over. right? So that's how I was introduced. Mm-hmm. So the first rebuttal from any child is going to be, well, I see other people that are doing, they're really doing some crazy stuff. Why doesn't God stop them?
Right.
Because God being all powerful, why would he let this little girl get really hurt? And then the New Age music comes along and says, well, there's something that you don't see that's going on in that person's lifeline that they chose, right?
Right.
And they just smooth it all over and mm-hmm. then we're supposed to accept it, right? But the truth is when you really start getting into it, you start realizing that there is really a hierarchy here and there is a being known as God, which is specific because God is good. So meaning that most people need to realize that other cultures call their gods different things.
Yep.
If you go to Arabia, even there, it's Allah. If you go somewhere else, it's Buddha. If you go, and each of these names emit a certain vibration. They're not all the same,
mm-hmm.
but it is a hierarchy where there is one being in particular on top, and then all the other beings have divvied themselves up in names. Since names are the only system of power, name is the only system of reference. A thousand devotees or 100,000 devotees chanting a being's name continuously always allows that being to have access to where we are in this space and time.
Wow.
And it's because when those people are chanting, they're basically leaving a breadcrumb trail and saying, hey, here we are. Hey, here we are. Cause we're going how fast? Who nobody even knows. We're spiraling through space. They say
that's right.
We're never coming at the same point in the same time because we're not in a circle. We're actually in a spiral.
Mm-hmm.
So this means if something needs to catch back up with us or find out where we are, how is it going to do that? Someone has to leave what's basically etheric cord continuously behind us. It's very similar to like an umbilical cord. And every time that energy or that frequency wants to upload itself into the reality again, it can come through one of those devotees chanting that name.
I gotta pause you for just a sec, Siobhan, because we're getting ready to go to a break, but you're really hitting on a pretty amazing thing right now because, you know, even going back into like World War II, watching Hitler running around the Middle East, pulling out artifacts and things like that, lots and lots of archaeological digs that were going on. And I was listening to another gentleman the other day who was basically saying that the reason that these people were going out and finding all of these artifacts is because they already have all the sacred texts to go with them, either at the Vatican or wherever, you know, whatever organization it is that they're trying to represent. And just like you're saying, there's nothing in the world to stop them if they've got the sacred texts and they know how to say the hubba-jubba, whatever it is that they have to say correctly, and they've got the artifact there. There's no reason that that entity wouldn't believe that they are current present day time representatives of said entity, right? And so that's where these people are essentially trying to go out and cultivate power from. And I find that to be very interesting because it basically touches just on what exactly you just mentioned.
Yeah. I mean, there it is. I know we're going into a break, so I won't open it up even more, but I mean, it's right on. But and then of course the main thing now is just to rewrite history.
That's right.
Because if you destroy all the statues and monuments, as you see code name ISIS did, you know, this is wild. Like it's just a direct attack on, it is, of course, in this case, a real direct on divine feminine because divine feminine is just the physical realities or the outputs.
Okay.
And in the output has to remain cohesive. It has to be a foundation. So it stores all these statues and temples and things that give it a very strong resonance. So that way it remains solid underneath our feet or else it just will disappear. It'll particleize, right?
Absolutely.
So if they take those things and they destroy those things and then 200 years it only takes. And they tell you in certain books they have the protocols, 200 years and then they can write a whole nother story
and then
cast the characters differently and then juice that character.
So, and it makes you wonder how many times that's been done before, ladies and gentlemen. Exactly. You know what I mean? Okay, we got to go to this 3-minute break. I'm not joking right now. We got a 3-minute break. Come back with our final segment with Siobhan Bowman. Absolutely amazing stuff, ladies and gentlemen. And I have a really big question to ask when we get back. So I appreciate you guys all being here, hopping in the chat room. We will be right back. Keep it right here, guys.
Hey, Big Mouth. Yeah, you. Listen, I want you to put the word out on the street. Tell your coworkers, your family, your paisanos, that my good friend, Joe Joseph, is doing a good thing here. He's sticking his neck out for me, for Sil, and for all the people in the world. Isn't that right, Sil?
He's part of the family now, T.
That's what I thought. So tune in to him. Right here on Freedom Link, Monday to Friday, exclusively on the Truth Frequency Radio. Yeah, they're watching you. Big deal. They're watching me too. They're watching everybody. So roll some cojones and give them something to watch and listen to. Make them earn it. Give them paperwork until they choke. That's right. I know you won't let me down. So you're going to put the word out about my good friend, Joe Joseph, right? Good. Now do me a favor and get out of here.
After work, I'm so tired that I want to be left alone to sleep.
Hey, listen to me.
Who are you?
I'm you years ago when you felt healthy and young and everything worked on your body. Do you remember that?
Yes. I wish I felt like that now.
You can feel like that again with a new microplant powder formulation called Iodine Now. It cleans the entire body from head to toe and feeds the body what it really needs. You'll be in a better mood and you'll find more drive in your romantic life.
Really?
I gotta try Iodine Now and feel good again. It also protects you from radiation, heavy metals, fluoride, chlorine, and bromine, including cancer and most major diseases. You'll be amazed. You can be your own doctor. I want to keep you out of the hospital and off pharmaceuticals.
Wow, why are you so nice to me?
Because I'm you. You're out of shape, and I need a better-looking future.
Call 888-910-4367. That's 888-910-4367. Iodine Now. Only at HempUSA.org.
Here at MyPatriotSupply.com, our customers are number one. Built on a self-sustaining business model, we don't owe our existence to big banks or big business. Instead, the company was built by you, the customer. The success of My Patriot Supply is a testimony to the loyalty and dedication of each and every one of you, to our old-fashioned values and top-rated customer service. These elements alone have made us the number one choice of patriots everywhere. We believe that being prepared should not be a luxury reserved by people with large disposable incomes, which is why we have the products you need at the prices you can afford. We bring you our Patriot Pantry brand of storable food, which features top-of-the-line flavors and carefully packed to store for 25 years. Plus water purification systems, non-GMO heirloom seeds, survival gear, and much, much more. Visit MyPatriotSupply.com or call 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. MyPatriotSupply.com.
We'll all get up. It'll be anarchy.
Anarchy!
Lit Free FM with Nathan Frazier.
Sunday. Truth Frequency Radio.
Welcome back to the broadcast, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you guys very much for hanging out with us through that 3-minute break. Really appreciate all of you guys tuning in live today and hanging out with us in the chat room. If you guys have questions or comments for Mr. Savan Bomar, that would be a very good place to put them, because then I can steward them across and weave them into the tapestry of our interview today. Very excited to have him here. I do want to recommend also that you guys check out his book. I forgot to mention this in the first segment. He is the author of The Code to the Matrix, which is a very highly rated, and I believe you can get it at Goodreads, and I think you can also get it at Amazon.com as well, but a lot of accolades for this gentleman, and very happy to have him here. Before the break, Savan, we've been kind of talking a little bit vaguely about spirituality and things like that, and I wonder if perhaps we should kind of slow our pace down and maybe define some terms for the listeners and talk about some of the correlations between them. And I realize this is kind of going to be a broad question, but I think you're kind of the gentleman to handle all this. I want to talk a little bit just about the correlation between frequency, intention, and spirituality, and then maybe tie into that as well the necessity of believing in yourself and how all of that stuff correlates. Do you think you could define those and kind of work us through what all those mean and how they correlate, sir?
For sure, yeah. We'll take it piece by piece. You know, first of all, I did want to let everyone know you can actually get the book really anywhere. You just type in The Code to the Matrix in Google, and it's there for download. It's free.
Oh, nice.
And yeah, it's also got 200 and something illustrations. So when seeing is believing, then you'll find a lot to actually begin to believe.
I totally should have known that too, because it's listed here. We do a page for you at redpillreports.com, and right here at the bottom it says book, yeah. Code to the Matrix, free link right there. So if you guys do want to check that out, definitely go to redpillreports.com and get on that link right there.
Exactly. And also just to know, the book was written like 5 years ago, so don't come back at me and say, but you said this, and then you said this. This is a progressive build.
It's a learning
and
process.
Even the book didn't, and then just so people didn't feel like I maybe knew too much, There were some typos there that we did not edit out because the book went through like the second editing and then we released it because it was, you know, it was ready to come. But, you know, just to answer this whole thing about basically manifestation, you know, it's very easy to understand this from another level because it's basically generation. It's how we create something. Now we do it all the time. We're just not as conscious of how we're doing it. So it's just better to look at the framework of how it operates. And so the first thing is you need an energetic potential. This means you need some kind of current or currency, some kind of battery, something that actually drives the actual, the inertia in whatever it is that you're trying to manifest. So when we look at our lives and we have to ask ourselves, where does that really come from? It actually comes from all the things that we consume through our orifices. And it's basically the orifices that are in, on the head, because the head is the first, macrocosmic model of how the entity is really set up.
Wow. Okay.
So when you're looking at with the head, you take in things through your eyes, you take in things through your nose, you take in things through your mouth and your ears, right? Sight, hearing, taste, smell, and then touch. All these are essences or foods that we consume on a daily basis. It's just, you know, when you're still trying to look at, well, how much are you seeing, hearing, tasting, smelling, touching, and what kind of quality that is, then that's also what's going to determine what kind of fluid it interprets to that goes into your spine. So
wow, okay.
How our consciousness works is it's capable of taking the things that we have, all the things that we have as intake. This means ideas and food alike, and then turning it into some kind of serotonin, melatonin, whatever. And then this gives the body the energetic potential that it needs to keep the aura moving. The aura is moving now, like a torus. And if the aura happens to stop moving, you leave this world and you smear into the adjacent frequency that is moving at the frequency that you're moving at. So the behold, the ladder is going up and down. This means that if you actually start picking up your frequency very high, you do leave this sphere, this part of the disc, and you go, depending on how high it is, levels up. Some people can pop all the way out of this. So, and then all same thing is if it gets too low, you get sick, you get depressed, and it starts slowing down. That's why many people also have spiritual experiences like that, where they can see the frequency that is immediately below them, which is the world, like a world of phantoms. It's dismemberment, meaning that it's disincarnate, disembodied. These beings are basically looking to put themselves back together like Frankenstein so that they can come back into another incarnation on the frequency that we live on. So everything there would be somewhat distorted to us, because our frequency here is a phi base frequency, and things that are closer to phi here, the closer it gets to phi, the more attractive or harmonic it is for us.
What is phi? So can you define that for people who might not know?
Sure. Phi is a spiral. To make it very simple, this is what's encoded within the pyramids. It's encoded within the different things we see in nature, like shells. It's encoded in the process of Venus's movement throughout the sky. It's encoded in the waves.
Then.
Exactly. Okay. This is what we're talking about. Okay. And this design and this spiral actually also lets you know the different schools of thought, because the different schools of thought. Because what happens here is that there was a schism within this knowledge. It actually divided. That's what created the word deuce. It created the divided worlds, etc. And so this means on one side was the zero and on the other side is the one. So in our reality, because there's happens to be a lot of, how could I put this? There happens to be a lot of misinterpretation, and different energies are working out in different ways. You have what people are calling a negative masculine energy that at times begins to dominate the reality, and actually is dominating the reality now.
Right.
And the reason why that I'm bringing this up is because then what happens is there's a plagiarization of the symbols. So generally how you can notice this is that there will be a straight line where a curve should be. Okay.
Okay.
And what this does is just very simple. You learn this in programming. It's like putting a zero where a one should be throws the entire program off. So when you have the beings that are supposed to be doing one thing kind of doing the other, like what we're doing, I like it to, everyone should make this relative to themselves. Don't try to go find these creatures. They're all inside.
Okay.
So what happens is that for us personally, we have other stuff to do besides sit behind computers and work all day. Like I'm a space traveler. I go throughout cosmos. I implode and I nest into wormholes and the whole nine. So actually getting up every day at five, whatever, and just sitting at some monotonous, repetitive something is not what I'm really about.
That's right.
Right. So if somehow I catch that profile, then I'm in that tense being misused and misusing myself. So that's all we're really talking about here. So with this energy then, what we find is that how the energy is also divided within ourselves is how much we have to give, and that also is measured in time, since we're on this dimension, how much we have to give to other things beside the service to self, in the vein that all is self. Meaning that if you actually fix yourself, you can do a lot more for everyone around you than you could ever do if you were just half okay or whatever, but still trying to function and be there for everyone.
Roger that.
So there has to be this point where we call it inner standing. This is synonymous with whole. We call it wholeness. This is when a person decides to go to the cave. They're done with the world. They're done with the way it works. Oh, Pindar or the penultima has now pinned them down too much, and they think and they feel like, okay, I have to get some level of control, so I'm going to retreat and I'm going to go into myself. And then there I know I will be safe. And many of us know about this whole process about pulling away from society, friends, and different things for a while till you can collect and gather yourself. And so this also allows you to begin to what? Cultivate now. Now you're cultivating the energy. Not a lot of those tubes that used to be connected to you pulling out that current from time and energy that you're having to spend on other things that are in most tense solely dedicated to their selves and their own energy system, right? So those are cut in many cases. In fact, there is a technique that if you cut all of them, you can feel the body literally start to aggressively go into a higher frequency, but you have to really believe it's working. But that kind of cutting of the cables and cords is what actually detaches a lot of stuff that's basically just feeding on you. Now, I'm not saying that all these things are vampires. Remember, your kids feed on you. So we don't want to make any of this stuff our enemy here. In fact, most people have to now settle for being able to juice and get up more energy so that way they can feed more. And then if you can really understand how it works, you can tap into the panacea, which is basically an inexhaustible energy, and that's your imagination, okay? And so this is building this. So this is what happens. Now, the imagination really works as an energetic potential because your ideas have an energetic potential tied into them. Like, I'm going to show you two examples. One, if you think you really want $1 million and they're coming tomorrow to give it to you, you won't be able to sleep that night. Anyone talks to you, you're super happy. What happened? Nothing really happened. You just believe that you got this $1 million and it came from a bona fide source. There's one example that thoughts and ideas do interpret to energy. Another one is you got this bad person that you just met. They really, really are doing it for you.
Oh, we're starting to lose Savon here. Hang on a second, ladies and gentlemen.
Out there, not because of anything you ate, right? Hello?
Hello. Oh, we got you back just for a second here. Yeah.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay, I must have dropped out for a second. But again, energetic potential is there. It's not because of anything that you ate. It's not because of anything you took. It was only because of the way that you thought. So the more you can really start playing around with that, it's insane, meaning that there's no actual limits to it. So then you have to become the governor because you can actually go insane like that.
Right.
So this is why it's always good to have those breaks. That's why I don't see God and the devil anymore. They're dancing together and then they disappeared. What I had to do after years of this, because, you know, we were the most bravest, strongest, light working, keeper of the key having beings triumphing this all the way up until 2012 hit. Because I had figured it out early. Like, so I was about 1 year before 2012 saying, wait a minute, I'm looking at stuff and everything seems to be re-engineered. The numbers are not matching. The zeros and the ones are out of place. Guys, I don't think that anything's going to happen in 2012 unless we make it happen. But there's not going to be any real phenomena or anything occurring. So this was like the ones who understood that, they went in and they made a 2012 happen, and it happened like within a month of when they started thinking about when they were going to line their planets or line their chakras up. Mm-hmm. While others, they took an external standpoint and they just started saying, well, you know, the Zeta Reticuli was talking to me and then all this stuff. But remember, we're creators. So it doesn't mean that any of those people weren't really seeing what they were talking about or weren't really experiencing what they were talking about in one way or another. It just becomes, well, how useful was it for us? Because us is about inside. It's like, well, how can it really apply to you so you can work with it? Like, am I going to call Zeta Reticuli tonight? He's going to drop off some paperwork to me? Or are you just going to tell me that he's telling me my planet is doomed? So, you know, it's just about now taking this and taking it very serious. We started taking it serious very early is what I'm saying.
Right.
And what we came up with is there's something that you do have to know. There was a hybridization with the human body. This is also easy to be seen with to not only the DNA, how many are active, but more importantly, that the tail is missing off of this physical version of this being. And because the tail actually contains the other vertebrae to the spine, that actually means that their tail or their story would be cut. When you domesticate or cut the tail of something, it loses a large chunk of its memory. And we're just talking about the physical bodies. Like, I'm not taking this onto a spiritual level, because when you cut something off on a physical level, it still remains on the spiritual. But you, when seeing is believing, as I said earlier, mm-hmm. you may feel like you don't have access to it anymore. So with human beings, it's that they don't have more or less their past of what took place on the planet. Then, of course, many of us can easily wipe away whether we need to know that knowledge or not, because we're also unbegotten. We're self-created. We came from nothing. So that's the impossible conundrum that no one can answer in physicality. But there's a lot that took place in physicality, our tales, our story, et cetera, our storage, our energy storehouse, our lot. When we don't have that, then we can't really believe in ourselves to the extent of what we would want to believe in ourselves. So that's what I was saying before, is that as a self-created or self-generated being, everything is about how much you believe in yourself. Because if you cease to believe in yourself, when you get into that out-of-body experience, that happens for everyone.
That's right.
At least once in a lifetime. Then there's no way to steer your consciousness or who you are through basically all the other particles and all the other things trying to now embed you. Because what you become is you flip poles. You just tesseracted. So you're automatically, if you're not balanced, going to flip right to the opposite pole that you're normally used to being on. So you're off guard. And in that off guard state, then you become passive. You actually become what we know as feminine. And then you get embedded with another story, another idea of what it is to be a human. You come into another incarnation inside of Kar's nation. It is Kar. It is flesh. And then you incubate. You're inside the cube or Pandora's box. And then you will bring forth many evils, meaning because you're still distorted, not knowing the big picture of how this really works, you will keep making mistakes. So then that, for that kind of entity, it remains contained. And the secret is that is what the aura is. It is a containment unit.
Wow.
It has a lot of capabilities to teach you and instruct you, but it is a containment unit because it is comprised of the archonic forces, which are the chakras that actually put together this reality. So then they're like the crutches to the reality, giving you as a child, when you look out of the crib, something of an idea of what exactly you're looking at by squaring the walls, teaching language, putting little chimes in the nursery rhymes and things that you start to begin to adapt to. But after a while, when are you going to throw off those crutches? When are you going to take up thy bed and walk? And this is also where it becomes, are you going to be a child inside egg, even though the egg is kind of cracked open, even of just listening to it present itself as some kind of real form of doing it, and then actually get on this with us, because there's 15,000 of us now physically counted,
right?
But there's millions of us, and in fact, there's a countless number of us, because we're basically a collective frequency. I mean, that's why we're on the phone today, me and you. And you can also tell very easily that when a person is on that frequency, because it's a feeling. And then when we learn to really start working with our feelings more, and they sometimes say trust your feelings, but see, trust often is misinterpreted.
Savan, I'm going to cut you off for just 1 second, brother. Hang on 1 second. I'm going to disconnect with you, and then I'm going to reconnect you, because we're kind of getting a little bit of a dropout here, and I don't want to miss anything that you're saying. So bear with me just 1 second here. So bear with me here just one quick second, ladies and gentlemen. I want to make sure we're not missing any of the stuff that Savan is talking about, because he's just so darn interesting. Savan, are you back?
Okay. Yeah, I'm back with us. And I got a clean copy on my side. I know people don't like the post-production, but just so you know, just in case there was some stuff that was like...
Okay. Yeah, we just for like the last couple minutes started to get a little bit of fade out, and I don't want to miss any of the stuff that we're talking about. I didn't mean to interrupt you. Do you want to pick it up where you were?
I'm not, it was a real flow there. And
right.
In fact,
okay.
It kind of concluded like right at that point.
Well,
so
then
we could really take it anywhere.
I want to talk about your websites, because they are obviously all three of them, especially with this new Secret Energy one, just amazing. I mean, honestly, some of the best looking and best, most functional websites I've seen on the internet. But I want to talk to people about, using them as a resource to raise our own frequencies. So do you want to talk a little bit about what people can expect when they go to your websites and how they can use them to actually start to try and go up this hill towards enlightenment, sir?
For sure. I mean, they can definitely expect to see themselves through every single portal. We did actually change certain things on how they work. Like, we put Realm Dynamics to being the main hub to where all the products and things that we discussed at times that we know vividly work on causing this graduation process are basically fixing and cleaning up what you broke.
Right.
You know, a lot of people will say, well, you know, I don't see why money has anything to do with why I need to buy anything. Well, did you break it? Because if you break it, you buy it, my friend, meaning that this is the same body. Like, you'll realize that when you get like 60 or 70 years old, because I talk to some of those people all the time.
Yeah.
And realistically, they're always talking about, man, if I had at least like 25, 30, start catching myself and at least going to work out, especially on my knees and those kind of things. So when my cartilage stops really regenerating, then, you know, I would still have a knee. So the reality is that there is some maintenance because we're below the speed of light. Okay. Now, anytime you're below the speed of light, that means that you're actually below what would be the perpetual energetic force. So in that state, gravity acts upon you. That is the G and the six in masonry. So what happens then is that the person can be pulled lower into the vortex. This is like after you finish spiraling in the Hadron Collider, you can eventually, if you get, you know, you don't have enough energy, you drag down back to the bottom. And so what happens is that it's really, that's why I was saying you have to believe in yourself, because it's like a constant thing where you have to keep the energy revved up in the physical realities if you want to really do some stuff for yourself here. Now,
wow.
I won't say this is for everyone, because obviously some people would just rather successfully bow out. As they say, it's like, you know, I'm really ready for the next world. Me personally, the next world is now. I don't really see that there was a gap, because I don't actually remember even dying, no matter what someone was. I died a while ago. Well, maybe you were imprinted with death. But for an immortal to die, it's not even possible. Or, you know, some people are now even condemning the word immortal. So I don't even know what to do anymore in this matrix. And what I'm saying is, so many people have made everything the enemy now. We don't see allies. So what the websites are they're the allies. They're the ones that are actually there, people who've experienced this just like you. We're collecting the data and filing the data properly, but we also had the experience. And things like the secret energy, it has what I feel like were the things that we weren't able to really incorporate with the old platform. And, you know, when you run a social network for 4 years, 5 years, you learn a lot of things. And it's just like, if as an architect, if you build something and you happen to live in it, and you start realizing, man, I should have run the piping on that side, and then the thing is on the hot water, and this is crazy. So if you ever have time to build it again, you're going to build it without those issues. So
right.
That's what secret energy is. It opens it up completely. I don't want to be the judge. Like, I don't want to be in that position. So I'm not making it up to me to determine what's on top and what's on the bottom. I'm letting people decide that. So the main thing that we incorporated in the skeleton, that the people are basically the meat and the soul force, the life and everything to it, as much as they want to participate in it, is as much as it'll give back. So the reality is that they can go in there and they can start to say, well, this dude right here is disinformation. He's been doing it since the beginning. He needs to wise up a little bit. No ratings for this one, but this one right here is on point. Let me give it 5 stars. So at that point, at a certain point, you would get all the individuals that are actually dealing with the bona fide information about what's happening here on the top. And then the people who are still playing the games because they refuse to go back out and keep learning things. Maybe they've gotten sluggish and lazy in their own consciousness. Also looking for that next spark. Now, like I said, that it works for all of us, because that person can even go right to the top and say, well, let me see what I feel like I'm ready to come back in this again. Like, what's going on? And then they hear one of these, you know, Dan Winter or Seven Bomar or messages coming across, and they'd be like, okay, so that's what that means. Because remember, each and every one of these individuals were running the great race, that they were in the gauntlet.
That's right.
And then what happens in this gauntlet is we take damage. And it's because, here's what I was explaining this to someone the other day, but it's because, see, when I'm doing this, like, I face a lot of stuff trying to get these websites off the ground. I'm just persistent and I'm very strong on all levels. And I just keep pushing. And then now that I got my imagination, nothing can stop me. But it did take that, because what happened was is that, see, there's an overall current to the reality based on how we program it. It's a collective build.
Right.
So if everyone basically decides to be just stupid and do the craziness and just listen to Madonna all day and listen to Lil Wayne or look at Newt Gingrich or, you know, all this stuff that doesn't mean anything,
doomed.
Then the current, right, the current starts to flow a certain way. So then when you decide you want to do opposite, you're actually going against the current in the collider.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Wow.
So now you got to turn into a navigator. And what I realized is that, and we talked about this, you know, shows and shows ago, but I'll bring it up now. See, there's a design, And I only can tell you it in geometry, but to understand what you should, how you should become is not necessarily shaping yourself into it, but understanding that you are it. There's a design where if anything comes to hit it from any angle, it just slips right off. And it, and they had a UFO in one movie design like this. It looks like a, it looks like the saber on Halo. Some people are like, what?
The saber?
But there's
yeah,
a game called Halo and there's this saber and it looks like, actually, let me tell you, it looks like a spade.
Okay, oh, okay.
Like a three-dimensional spade. So there's that point and then right when the point is there, from that point, there's a slope.
Mm-hmm.
And then so if anything hits it, it just slides right off. And the reason why I'm explaining this is because that's how sleek. You got to be like Leonardo DiCaprio shaving down the screws on the aviator.
Right.
Meaning on the plane just to get a few extra seconds. When you're flying against the, basically against the current. And this is also, it comes at you as your encouragement. It comes at you as, you know, just the overall morale that you have to deal with to keep, that you have to keep having to keep going in this. It comes as these weird quirks where the computer shuts down, all the files get deleted. It comes as when you're talking to people that this is what they specialize in, whatever it is, and then they act like that you need to tell them what to do.
Mm-hmm.
See, it comes in all these different ways, and it's just basically the you going against what is the perceived force. Mm-hmm. But then once you get good at it, this then makes it very interesting because now the entire reality you know is going in the wrong direction, but you also know then that you have the ability to actually begin to change it and begin to bring it something new. Because what the wrong direction would be, so that we don't start doing the wrong direction thing here, is that when you just keep going in a circle,
yep.
A circle is the wrong direction. Because you just over and over and over again. So if we're doing something over and over and over again and it's feeling like Groundhog's Day, then we know that, okay, I gotta get out of this. I'm really a coil. Because what happens is, what happens when you take two opposing forces, like, let's say a circle, and I'll just get this explanation and I'm done. You take a circle, right? And you break it open, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now you got a line there. So let's say on one side is positive and the other side is negative.
Okay.
If you bend those back together and you put them together, they short out. Okay? And that's why generators are not designed like that.
Mm-hmm.
They're designed in circular coils. They wind the coil, wind, so that there's a resistance in the center.
Uh-huh.
And then that's what allows the poles to separate. One goes on one side, another one goes on another, and then now they're able to generate. So this is the simple idea of understanding what we're doing here. We're creating that other force, that other pole, what we've been missing, the hidden knowledge, the lost word, if you may. We're bringing that back and we're restoring that to humanity. And then, and the reason why we're doing it is not because of some save the world program. Not, I want to save everyone and you get caught up in the whole pitfalls of that idea.
Right.
It's because we know that once we show everyone who they really are, now it's going to really, really kick off. And on top of that, guess what? I'm not trying to leave here. Like, I'm not into that whole, I need to get off this planet, blah, 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 because if, you know, as they say, always want to go, but you never want to stay. There is no other planet, if you know what I'm talking about.
That's right.
You have access to every space right now. You got inner space, you go there every night. Yep. Every time you close those eyes, whether you're aware of it or not, if you had the energetic potential, it wouldn't even go dark in there. And that's also a marker for letting us understand how our energy works, because we are lights. So when you actually pick up a lot of energy, you shine now. So that shining is like a projector. So when we close our eyes, when the shining is high, and many people who've been through these kind of experiences where they've turned up their frequency, even through other substances, all of a sudden it's like you turned on an HD television.
That's right.
Now some people still dream in HD.
Savan,
I
gotta interrupt you, brother. We are out of time.
We are.
That was the whole hour, man. Absolutely amazing. Thank you so much for joining us today, sir.
All right, JD. Thank you.
Absolutely. Everybody, please go check out Savan Bomar's websites. You guys are not gonna believe how amazing they are. We gotta go, ladies and gentlemen. We're out of time. I'll see you guys this evening for the Woo Crew, and appreciate all of you guys who will be tuning in for that. Appreciate all you guys hanging out with us this morning. Wasn't Savan Borman just an amazing, amazing individual, ladies and gentlemen? Absolutely.
Truth Frequency Radio is your number one source for news and information without the hate, hype, and fear. We are proud to bring you cutting-edge programs like The Kev Baker Show,
The Christopher Everard Show,
The Freedom Link with Joe Joseph,
Truth Frequency with Chris and Shuri Geo,
Red Pill Reports
with J.D. Moore,
X
Squared with Brooks Agnew.
Down the Rabbit Hole with Popeye.
Freaky Friday
with the Woo Crew.
Waking Up the Masses
with Robert Bruce.
Phoenix Rising Radio
and dozens more.
Did you know you can listen from any computer, mobile device, or from any telephone by dialing 832-225-5308.
Or call into your favorite show toll free at 866-37-TRUE.
Uncensored talk and news you won't hear in the mainstream media.
24 hours a day.
Truth Frequency Radio. Wherever you are, make it TFR.
Truth Frequency Radio.